Greetings, friends. This is John Haspel, and I am the Dhamma teacher at Cross River Meditation Center in Frenchtown, New Jersey. The podcast will begin in a moment. Please visit crossrivermeditation.com for additional podcasts, Dhamma articles, and a calendar of our weekly classes and monthly and yearly retreats. We rely on donations from our listeners to provide these talks. If you find this talk helpful in developing your understanding of the Dhamma, please consider a donation at crossrivermeditation.com. Thank you, and enjoy the talk. Jiddu Krishnamurti. Does everybody know who Krishnamurti is?
J. Krishnamurti?
Yeah.
Or U.G.?
Jiddu. J.
I know
him well. For those that don't, Krishnamurti was an interesting man. He was kind of discovered by this theosophist, Madame Blavatsky, and was groomed to be the world changer, the one that would enlighten the world. Pardon me?
The Maitreya.
Yeah, the Maitreya. He was found as a young man, really a boy, and kind of groomed for that role. And as he got older, he turned his back on it. I won't get into his whole story. But it wasn't something that he was comfortable with. But he continued to teach his whole life. In fact, he started a couple of schools that were world-renowned and very effective in teaching young people just how to live in the world. And all that to lead up to one thing that he said often. He said, look at the lives you're living. And on the surface, that sounds like, okay. But if you understand where Krishnamurti was coming from, you realize how important and profound that one line was. Krishnamurti also said there's no such thing as meditation. He says all that you need to do is to sit quietly and take a look, which is exactly what Shamatha Vipassana, that meditation technique, does. He was not a man that was given to dogmatic beliefs. He taught what he experienced himself. And that one line, look at the lives you're living, is... And he also said that the only true spiritual practice is what the Buddha taught. But he also, just to be clear about that, he also said you don't need that either. And I guess the Buddha said the same thing. Once you achieve the level of understanding, you don't need the practice anymore. You're living it, and that was what Krishnamurti was alluding to. A lot of Krishnamurti's teachings are the same as the Buddha in that it comes down to how we live our lives moment by moment, how we treat others, and how we treat ourselves. And that leads to the precepts. The precepts were taught by the Buddha as a very simple way of living within the Dhamma without having to think about it too much. These five precepts encompass the moral and ethical practice that's found in the Eightfold Path, and they're also an expression of right view and right intention. You know, right view is the, at least the beginning, it's the view that the Four Noble Truths make sense, and I'm gonna engage in an effort to understand that. And right intention is to put aside all the causes of stress and unhappiness, clinging, craving, desire, and aversion. So that these five precepts are a practical way of just living that. And the first precept is to refrain from killing or taking life, to always act with love and kindness. Refrain from stealing or taking what is not freely given, and to be generous at all times. The third is to refrain from false, unnecessary, misleading, harmful, or impatient speech, to always speak with kindness, honesty, and mindfulness. The fourth is to refrain from sexual misconduct or using sex in a selfish or harmful manner, to always be content in giving. And the fifth is to refrain from the use of intoxicants, so to be mindful and thoughtful. If you think about that, those five precepts are pretty remarkable in that it encompasses the entire moral and ethical framework of the Dhamma. On the surface, we all know about killing, not stealing, not taking what's freely given, not engaging in sexual misconduct. We know about not taking intoxicants, not taking drugs, or getting drunk. And I think we all understand why that's harmful. You know, it leads to it leads to mindlessness or heedlessness. On a much more subtle level, as our Dhamma practice develops, we understand that killing has a much deeper and profound meaning than just not taking another's life, or even maybe not even killing an animal. Do we engage in character assassination, even if it's for fun? You know, isn't that a form of killing? Do we look at people or treat people in a way that make them feel like they're non-existent in the world? You know, isn't that a form of killing? And the point, and I'm not trying to get into anybody should act a certain way, but just how there's subtler levels to these simple precepts. The idea of not taking intoxicants, you know, obviously drugs and alcohol are probably out to a great extent if you're going to develop a Buddhist practice, at least in a way that we drink or use drugs to excess. But what about using other things as intoxicants? What about shopping compulsively or always needing to be on the golf course or be at work or watching TV or be on the internet or be on Facebook and all the rest of that? That's a form of distraction. It's a form of addictive and compulsive distraction. So these five precepts, when developed fully, bring to mind all these subtle aspects of life that are a distraction to practice. And a great way, if you haven't read this, I mean, I get into most of this in this brief article, a great way to incorporate the precepts into our lives is to start our days with the intention to keep the precepts. And in many of the Buddhist schools and monasteries, this is part of their morning practice, that they formally state the intention to keep these precepts on a daily basis. You know, I'll refrain from killing, I'll refrain from wrong speech, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a very simple way of incorporating the moral and ethical guidelines of the Eightfold Path. You know, we don't have to think about, am I in right speech now? Am I in right action? Is this right livelihood? If we just keep these precepts. But it takes those first two factors of the Eightfold Path to fully engage in these precepts. It takes right view and it takes right intention, or else these precepts won't mean anything, or we'll make excuses, you know. And I think that's an easy thing to do. That's one of the reasons why the Buddha taught right livelihood, because we can make excuses in certain circumstances. And it's those little excuses in those certain circumstances that throw us off the Dhamma and get us off this path. And that's enough to say about that. The paramitas are sometimes looked at in a similar way, that we strive to live within these paramitas. But the paramitas were presented more as qualities of mind that we attain as we're developing in the Dhamma. Sariputta, one of the Buddha's chief disciples, questioned the Buddha one day, how many qualities are there to be developed in the Dhamma, meaning qualities of mind or qualities of being? And the Buddha responded, there are 10 qualities that are developed in the Dhamma. And what are they? Giving, virtue, renunciation, wisdom, energy, patience, truthfulness, determination, loving kindness, and equanimity are all qualities to be developed in the Dhamma. And so those are ways that we carry ourselves, those 10 qualities of mind. They're things that every one of us has within us. It's part of our it's part of our nature. Sometimes we get so caught up in the compulsiveness and aggressiveness of the world that we don't act out of that. And that's really where stress and unhappiness and pain and suffering come from, when we start acting contrary to who we truly are. When we keep ourselves out of those quality of mind by our own actions, by not keeping the precepts. So do you see how the precepts really support these 10 stated qualities of mind? As our practice develops, these 10 qualities of mind simply become more apparent to us, but we also maintain them much longer. We're not thrown out of them. Another way to state these qualities of mind is they're qualities of mind of a fully awakened being. A fully awakened being stays in these qualities of mind. A fully awakened being doesn't strive for them anymore. They're just a natural part of the way we live our lives. And so when we recognize it, again, the Dhamma is not a way for us to beat ourselves up. If we don't keep the precepts perfectly, it's not something to look at like we've created a grave mistake and we're going to hell. We're going to create problems in our, in the moment, present moment life if we don't keep this. We're going to have a difficulty progressing in the Dhamma if we're not keeping the precepts and at least living somewhat in these qualities of mind and then deepening them further. One of the levels of mindfulness that develops in the Dhamma is that we are aware when we're living in one of these qualities of mind or all of them. We recognize it, that something's different now within ourselves. We see things differently. And since our point of view is different, the mind states that we develop is different. It's more loving and peaceful. You know, the big awakening that the Buddha came to was that everybody wants to be happy, but we're just so distracted, we don't understand how to do it. We're so caught up in our lives, and we're so caught up in this view of ourselves that we need to protect from birth to death, that we miss the whole point. And the whole point gets back to what Krishnamurti said. Just look at the lives you're living. That's what the Buddha means by mindfulness. That's that simple expression of mindfulness, is slow your mind enough and your body to be able to look at the lives you're living. And if it's not the life you want to live, to make simple changes. And that's that framework that the Buddha gave us that's so expressed in the precepts. You know, very simple, very direct practice. But it's also so powerful. You know, there's nothing magical or mystical about it. We don't have to have special qualities or special gifts. We just have to take to the Dhamma, you know, and we can live those lives. We can develop a way of looking at the lives we're living and make real changes that bring true and lasting peace and happiness to ourselves and everyone else around us. That's the point of the Dhamma. And that's the talk tonight. So thank you for listening. So let's go around the room, and I'd love to hear how your Dhamma practice is going, if you have any questions or comments on this. And then remind me to talk a little bit more, please. You're always good at reminding me about some of the changes on the website in Cross River Meditation Center. Thank you for listening. For more Dhamma talks and articles, please visit crossrivermeditation.com. We rely on donations from our listeners to provide these talks. If you have found this talk helpful in developing your understanding of the Dhamma, please consider a donation at crossrivermeditation.com. This talk is copyrighted and is made available under Creative Commons 4.0 license. Please visit crossrivermeditation.com for use and distribution information. Peace.